more of that. Yes, more business and finance. Sarah Dankert is a business journalist for The Age, the Sydney Morning Herald. She joins us for our weekly business finance segment. Sarah, welcome.
Good day, Jonathan.
Here is an interesting one. APRA, a capability review shaking up culture. This is long expected. What are we hoping to get from this?
Well, yeah, so we're hoping that it's going to actually come out potentially late this evening. Mm-hmm. And it's a review that was sparked by the Hayne Royal Commission, which found that APRA was a reluctant regulator at times. It's fabulous at ensuring the financial stability of the banks and the super funds in the country.
No bad thing in itself.
No bad thing. You would say that's the larger bit of its remit. Mm. But the other remit in terms of supervising misconduct in the superannuation system just kind of got left behind. So what we're hearing on the QT is that the government would be expected to pick up most of the recommendations in the report, and APRA is going to support the report as well. This is what I've heard around the traps. And the other key thing is what the recommendations could include.
Yep.
Other regulators overseas, now I don't know whether this is an official recommendation, but other regulators overseas have the power, like APRA, have the power to veto directors' appointments and reappointments. And this report may well include that recommendation, which means that, yes, the old spectre of industry super funds having a body telling them who could be on their board and who couldn't be on their board, the banks, and also retail super funds could now have a check and a balance over who they choose to be directors. And that could be a massive change.
And interestingly too, and given the nature of who's conducting this review, we can expect a certain degree of forthrightness. This is being led by the former ACCC chairman, Graham Samuel, who speaks his mind.
Yes, he's what's the cliche? He's not backwards in coming forwards.
That's him.
Mr. Samuel. Yes, and also and there's Diane Smith-Gander on there and Graham's Grant Spencer.
Yep.
And they're both very talented and capable people. I think it'll be a bit more measured than an absolute shellacking. I think that there's a lot of international eyes on this report. The last thing Australia...
It'll have market impact, I suspect, as well.
It would have
on the
a
banks.
Huge market impact. So I think there'll be a lot of effort in the report to emphasise all the things that APRA does well. But I think that there is a culture issue at APRA, and Hayne has laid that out. It's not that they're bad people. It's just that with their funding and with their resources, they're focused on ensuring no bank collapses, which none have. And not every country can say that they've been that lucky. So APRA's done some great work, but there's also been a whole lot of misconduct in the super sector that's gone unchecked.
So maybe late tonight. The timing is interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it? So I can't speculate on the time. I don't. Okay. The report's coming out of Josh Frydenberg's office, of the Treasurer's office. So I presume him and his people know better than I as to the rationale behind the timing.
Partly preparing their response, no doubt. Now, speaking of matters, fiscal and monetary, the Reserve Bank, more rate cuts potentially, leaving the door open.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. So we've had back-to-back.
It's not that far to go.
No. We could end up in negative rates, and that's a whole other situation.
Sounds very Weimar Republic.
I know, doesn't it? So, look, we're at the stage where we're down to 1%. We had a cut earlier in the month, and we had a cut last month. And so they're predicting that there will be another cut. I think it would probably only be 25 basis points, and then it becomes the timing. So the financial markets are tipping. You know, they all bet on when the rate cut will come through, and they're thinking February. But some more sort of, you know, economists, et cetera, believe that it could be as early as September or November. There's some inflation figures coming out later in the year, and if they are lackluster, they'll look to cut rates again. And part of what you were talking about earlier about the problems in the job market.
Yes. And the Reserve Bank is very focused on that. I mean, it sees a lack of economic impetus in that stagnancy in wages.
Yeah, and that's a real issue. Another issue that's bubbling along is also building approvals. So there's fewer people buying off the plan apartments. The settlements are falling over. It's not at a crisis stage yet. But to just keep that chugging along, there's hope that another cut might, you know, stave off some hardship. And then, of course, there's also the drought, particularly in New South Wales, and that's just making sure people are counting their pennies a little bit more.
As the Reserve Bank Governor may observe, may you live in interesting times. It's quite a combination. Let's pop across the ditch here. AMP and New Zealand Reserve Bank, a bit of hot water there for AMP.
Oh, poor AMP can't catch a break, can it? Everything it tries to do, it just runs into a wall at the moment. So AMP's had a terrible time at the Royal Commission, and through that it's ended up with a huge cost base, lots of compensation to pay, lots of restructuring. So it thought, we'll sell our life business to this UK mob called Resolution Life.
Okay.
And part of that, they sort of wanted to chuck in their New Zealand business too. And the New Zealand, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand has said, well, that's fine. We're willing to approve that as long as you leave these some assets, some money, capital in New Zealand and ring fence that. So when people claim on their policies or when things go pear-shaped,
there's something there.
There's something there. And you don't really blame the Kiwis for
precaution.
For doing that.
Yes.
So that's where AMP is up to, and it could end up being quite painful for AMP. It's the analysts are now tipping they'll have to do a capital raising now. Poor AMP shareholders, and there's thousands.
Long-suffering AMP shareholders,
long-suffering,
it needs to be said.
Yes. They'll be having potentially there's $700 million in value that they're going to lose. That doesn't mean they'll raise $700 million, but through the sale being delayed, through them having to recalibrate, it's going to get much, much, much more difficult for
tighter. Sarah, thank you so very much.
Pleasure as always.
Sarah Dankert, business journalist for the Asian Sydney Morning Herald.